Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit drjoelwade.com, scroll down, and click the Audible banner to get 2 free audiobooks and start your free Audible trial today.
You are now listening to the Mastering Happiness Podcast with Dr. Joel Wade.
Compassion and empathy are essential human qualities. Yet, as compassionate and empathetic as we might be in our everyday lives, there's somebody that many of us almost never think about. Let's talk about that today. I'm Joel Wade, and welcome to my podcast. Compassion and empathy reflect the ability to understand, feel for, and care about our fellow human beings. Over mankind's history, the extent of our empathy and compassion has grown from our family or small tribe, out to other people in our villages or towns, and with the invention of the printing press and the spread of literacy, more people began to read about and think about and share stories and experiences with people they would never in their lives meet in person. Steven Pinker, in his book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, argues that this was a major turning point in the decline of violence and cruelty and the beginning of what he calls the humanitarian revolution. Over the past 100 years, our abstract reasoning ability, the quality that, among other things, allows us to empathize more deeply with another person's internal experience, has grown 3 IQ points every decade. That's a huge growth in our capacity for empathy and compassion. This is a wonderful, if complex, development. It's what allows us to appreciate and express curiosity, kindness, and caring toward people very different from ourselves. It's part of what makes it fun to visit new places and meet new people. It's a big part of why the world is a much less violent place than it was even a few decades ago. It also allows us to focus on creative, expansive projects, to be more curious and adventurous in our lives, because we're not mired in negative judgments about ourselves or others, judgments that, by their very nature, restrict our thinking and limit our possibilities. Let's talk about compassion and its antagonist, blanket shame, for a few minutes, because it's really essential for making positive change in our lives. If you want to change things for the better, be compassionate with yourself and toward others. Think of the people who have had the greatest positive influence on you. Did they spend a lot of time nagging, berating, insulting, or shaming you? I suspect not. Shame has its place. When we do something that violates our values, one of the natural emotions we feel is shame. Shame provides the painful feedback that motivates us to want to never do that shameful act again. If we continue to do the same behavior, we'll continue to feel the same shame until we eventually get the message. But once that feedback is received, and we've taken the steps to correct what we feel ashamed of, that emotion has done its job. When we continue to berate ourselves for what we did after we've taken the steps to make it right, we actually weaken our willpower and undermine our ability to establish better habits. For example, researchers have found that among alcoholics who become sober, those who continue to actively feel ashamed of themselves, to criticize and castigate themselves for their previous behavior, are the ones who go back to drinking. On the other hand, those who have compassion for their previous behavior are the ones who stay sober. This is very different from pretending that everything was fine or some other pretense. It's possible to know and acknowledge that we've done harmful things, to feel the pain of facing our shameful behavior, and then, having changed that behavior and done what we can do to make amends, to feel compassion and kindness toward ourselves. It's important, of course, that we change that behavior. Just having compassion for our human failings without feeling the shame and working to change the hurtful behaviors will keep us on a steady course of destruction. We need to have compassion for ourselves while working to improve ourselves. And the attitude that will most help us to make and maintain those positive changes is compassion. Compassion also helps us to weather failure and even to counter low self-esteem. Among teenagers who were studied, those with low self-esteem who were compassionate with themselves were more resilient and were better able to cope with life's ups and downs. They had fewer mental health issues as time went on. whereas those with low self-esteem and low self-compassion had much more trouble with mental health. So the leverage point is the compassion, not the self-esteem. Increased self-compassion and the dangers in adolescence of low self-esteem, mental health issues, difficulty developing supportive relationships, and future suicide attempts are lower. Self-compassion has to do with accepting a degree of self-doubt, some negative self-evaluations, and adversity as part of life. In a sense, having compassion for ourselves is about accepting what's true, since all these are natural thoughts and feelings that most everybody experiences at times. By not having compassion for ourselves, in a sense, we're expecting a miracle to happen, that we can somehow go back in time and have done things differently. But there's no time machine and no ability to do this in reality. The best that we can do is to stop doing the harmful behavior now, make amends, and do better things in the present and into the future. And then accepting ourselves, accepting what we've done, and having compassion for where we went wrong will allow us to get on with a better life. And it gets better. We tend to treat other people the way we treat ourselves. If we're harsh and critical with ourselves, we'll tend to be harsh and critical with others. If we're kind and compassionate with ourselves, we'll tend to be kind and compassionate with others, too. In other words, we'll tend to treat other people better if we treat ourselves better. If you think that shaming somebody will inspire them to improve themselves, ask yourself this, and answer honestly. Have I ever changed myself because somebody lectured, insulted, or shamed me? As the Dalai Lama has said, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. I would add that if you want to help others be effective, practice compassion. If you want to be effective, practice compassion. Because shame drains our willpower. And willpower is necessary to making enduring positive changes, the very changes we need to make to be more effective. Be compassionate with yourself and compassionate with others, and you'll be bringing the essential ingredient to living a happier, more effective, and more heartful life. There's somebody in each of our lives, though, who we commonly forget to feel compassion and empathy for. And even with what I've said so far here, it can be easy to forget about this person. Who's this mystery person? Ourselves. Not in the present or even the past, but in the future. We tend to not care much or be very kind to the person we will be in the future. We usually think of compassion and empathy as something we feel for another person, understanding and feeling a connection to their emotions and circumstances. But our future self is also, in effect, another person. When was the last time you thought about your future self? Not in some vague, next year I want to go to Europe way, but really settled into the idea that you're going to be a year older then, and how will you feel? What kind of person will you be? What will your circumstances be? Who will you be spending your time with? What will you be doing? What will you be able to do? What will you have to do? And most critically, how will your actions now affect who you are then? Thinking about this question can have a huge impact for our lives in the near future, as well as the distant future. Vividly imagining how we might feel in the future from our actions today can be a powerful motivator for more effective living. This is true for little things as well as big ones. If we're considering having that second helping, or an unhealthy dessert, we're usually focused on the immediate pleasure of the taste, along with the release of dopamine that promises relief from stress. By imagining how we'll feel afterward, maybe 15, 20 minutes later, after the taste is long gone and the dopamine has dissipated, we might find that we don't actually feel so good. Maybe we feel a bit bloated or are coming off the sugar high, wishing we had abstained instead. If we're considering engaging in dangerous behavior, something that might be thrilling in the moment but could harm us long term, we're usually focused on the thrill. By imagining the potential fallout the next day and how we might feel after the thrill is gone, we can interrupt something we might feel awful about later. How kind are you to the person you're going to be 20 minutes from now, 2 days from now, or a few years from now? Too often, when we're in the grips of strong impulses, temptations, or ingrained habits, we aren't thinking of our future self at all. We're just blindly expecting that poor soul will work it out somehow. They're older, they're tough, and it's not our problem. Our great strength as human beings is that we're able to project ourselves into the future and imagine possibilities that aren't immediately obvious in the present. We can consciously choose to use this strength in a more directed way. By being purposefully more kind to our future selves, we'll be more likely to make better choices today for our long-term happiness, choices that serve our long-term values and goals. The truth is, we tend to expect the feelings we're having in the present to be stronger than the feelings we'll experience in the future. Our present self and feelings are immediate and concrete. We're experiencing them now. Our future self and feelings are abstract. They're an idea, a story, a possibility. So it's hard for us to imagine feeling as strongly in the future as we do today. But of course, our feelings will be every bit as strong and real in the future as they are today. You know how it's possible to take a picture and progress it in age to see what that person might look like some years later? What if you were able to do that with a picture of yourself right now? Maybe fast forward 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now. What would you look like in that picture? This isn't about envisioning your future. I'm not talking about imagining if everything went well or if you achieved your goals or anything like that. Just a picture. See yourself as a real person some months or years down the road in a picture. Seeing that picture, let it sink in that this future you is an actual person with feelings, thoughts, experiences, and longings. Things going on that matter to him or her. A person whom you care about, and that you love, hopefully. What would you do differently now if you were to have more empathy and compassion for your future self? Now, seeing that picture and feeling that empathy more genuinely from the inside, is there anything you would do differently today, knowing that what you do now will affect this person you care about in the future? Would you approach your work any differently? How would you treat the people you care about, who this future you will presumably care about too? Would you treat your money and your health differently? Would you let some things go, fight harder for other things? In studies where people were shown these kind of pictures of themselves, age progressed to 10 years older, those people were more careful with their money. Presumably, they could feel that what they did today mattered for their future, not just as an abstract idea, but for real. One good way to decide between two possible courses of actions is to imagine how you'll feel about each decision in the future. More specifically, which decision would you be most proud of, and which would you feel less proud of or regret? What would you do differently today if you were to feel more empathy for the person you will be tomorrow? Consider this question. What would happen if you were to have just 5% more compassion for your future self? This week, I'd like to challenge you to do two things. First, to bring more compassion to yourself and others, and to let go of any sort of automatic habit of shaming yourself or others. Use any legitimate feelings of shame to find what, if anything, you need to do to correct any past behavior you may feel shame about. But then, having corrected that behavior, let the lingering shame dissipate in the presence of greater compassion and understanding. It'll help to start with just noticing how you naturally treat yourself and others. Pay attention to your habits of shame and compassion. Notice what's true for you right now in terms of your automatic behaviors and attitudes. Then, once you have a pretty clear idea, actively strive to bring just 5% more compassion to yourself and to others. My second challenge to you is to actively empathize with yourself in the future, and to see how doing so can affect your decisions in the present by choosing to treat your future self with love and kindness. Ask yourself what you would do different today if you were to feel more empathy for the person you will be tomorrow, and actively strive to bring 5% more compassion for your future self. This may be a tall order. Take your time with it. Practice it. Appreciate that it will likely take some consistent, conscious practice. Really settle into how it feels and what it will take to move yourself toward more compassion and empathy, toward yourself, toward others, and toward the person you will be in the future. A Master's Course in Happiness is a monthly, in-depth program to help you actively, purposefully, and effectively live a happier, more fulfilling life. This course is designed to teach you the skills and principles that you need to bring the best you have to offer, inside and out. Over the course of 12 months, we'll explore what I've found are many of the fundamentals of living well. Through audio, video, and written material, you're supported to learn and practice specific actions each month that will strengthen you, inspire you, and enable you to lean into life more fully. These are skills and principles for self-mastery across all of the circumstances and personalities I have ever worked with for nearly 4 decades, based on solid research and experience. And right now, exclusively for my listeners, you can experience the Master's Course in Happiness at a great discount. Use promo code MH1PROMO in all capitals to get this $467 course for only $295 today. Visit www.drjoelwade.com. That's DRJOELWADE.com now, and use promo code MH1PROMO to receive this amazing course for only $295. A Master's Course in Happiness is designed to give you the most powerful skills that I can offer in a course. It will give you the tools and knowledge to apply yourself fully to the mission of mastering yourself. That's www.drjoelwade.com, promo code MH1PROMO, all in capitals.